Welcome to Legal News and Review, recipient of the Florida Bar Award of Excellence, and featuring Michael Santucci, co-chair of the Intellectual Property Division of the Broward Bar. From the law firm of Santucci Priori, practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale. Legal News and Review, the only real problem solver radio program using the law, with your moderator, Philip Bell, and hosts and legal panel attorney, Gary Singer, chair of the Broward County Bar Association's Real Property Section. Gary Singer is board certified in real estate law and a syndicated columnist from the Sun Sentinel. He is an expert in his field of practice. Now, here's your moderator, Philip Bell.
On the docket for today's broadcast, insurance claims can be quite the merry-go-round. And today, we're very pleased to speak with Richard Benrubi, who is board-certified civil trial attorney from the law firm Law Office of Richard Benrubi. He works on behalf of policyholders and, as a result, had cases that changed Florida law. In 2016, the Florida Supreme Court ruled in his favor in the case of Peyton versus Geico General Insurance Company. Richard's practice is solely focused on representing policyholders in every manner of dispute involving insurance claims. I'd like to welcome our legal panel host, Michael Santucci. Good evening.
How are you?
And doing good. Also, our legal panel host, Gary Singer, is at one of your favorite places in Disney World right now with his son. But he'll be back next week. You know, Mike, policyholders at times feel like they have nowhere to turn. But now they should know they have a place to turn, and that's to Richard Benrubi. Good evening, Rick.
Good evening.
I've owned homes, and I've had issues. Matter of fact, we moved here just in time for Hurricane Andrew, and that was a dynamic time. I lived in Boca, didn't get much damage, but still did. It was a merry-go-round. They get the money for the replacement of the roof, the water damage from where the tiles went in, and then, of course, this is Florida. You get mold. It can add up. When it comes to insurance claims, what are the duties of the insurance company?
Their most basic duty is to act fairly and honestly towards their insured and with due regard to their interests. And what that means in layman's terms is that they have a duty to interpret the insurance policy in favor of the policyholder and always give the policyholder the benefit of the doubt whether there's questions about whether a certain claim is covered under the policy or not.
What's insurance bad faith for our listeners, if you could explain that, and how does it apply to the defense of claims made?
As opposed to a breach of contract claim, which is simply where the insurance company says, you know, we're not paying you because we believe that an exclusion applies or some other contractual provision applies, and they have some facts to support that. Bad faith generally involves where the insurance company denies a claim or delays a claim without any reasonable justification. So it's an egregious breach of contract, so to speak.
And are there penalties for those types of breaches, for failing to settle in bad faith or failing to defend in bad faith? If so, what are they?
There are, and we call those extra contractual damages. For instance, if you're a disabled claimant and you make a claim under your disability policy and the insurance company wrongfully denies your claim without justification, and now you can't pay your mortgage and you get foreclosed on and you lose your house because of that situation, then you can claim these what we call consequential damages, damages that the insured has suffered as a consequence of the insurance company's bad faith conduct. If you can prove that they do this as a general business practice, what they did to your client, you have the potential for punitive damages in the state of Florida.
I got to ask you about this Florida Supreme Court case that you had. You represented Geico, I guess, in that case?
No, I strictly represent the insureds, the policyholders. So I represented the injured plaintiff in that case, who was Kelly Peyton, because she was injured in a car accident by a person who either didn't carry enough liability insurance or had no liability insurance. And she made an uninsured motorist claim. That's a coverage where you pay an extra premium in the state of Florida to get that coverage. And she was a young girl. Her doctor diagnosed her with a herniated disc in her back. Geico had the films reviewed by their own radiologist who confirmed that there was a herniated disc, yet their highest offer before trial was $5,000.
Wow.
And there was $100,000 in coverage available, and my client was willing to take as little as $22,500 because she didn't want to go through litigation. She wanted to be finished. and they refused to even accept that amount. So another lawyer took her case to trial and obtained a verdict of almost $500,000 on her behalf. And then I'm hired to bring a second lawsuit against GEICO, the insurance company, for bad faith to collect what we call the excess verdict, the amount over $100,000 to, you know, equal to the actual jury verdict.
Because the thing is, they should have settled that within the policy limits.
Right. There's a statute found in Chapter 624. It's 624.155, which says that an insurance company has a duty to settle a case when they could and should have, under the facts and circumstances, had they been acting in the best interests of the insured.
So your client got an award of attorney's fees because of that.
Yeah. So in addition, so I brought the bad faith case and we went all the way to trial. So this was the second trial for this young lady, and we proved that GEICO did act in bad faith. So instead of being limited to the $100,000 policy limits, that would have been the extent of their liability had they done the right thing in the first place. They were liable for the full amount of the verdict, and then attorney's fees on top of that per Florida statute. And we had that case go all the way to the Florida Supreme Court on a novel issue of Florida law.
Yeah, and that issue, and that's interesting to me. What I'm reading is that the holding at the Florida Supreme Court level was that billing records of opposing counsel are relevant as a guiding determination of the plaintiff's attorney's fees. I got a couple of follow-up questions about that. Has that been applied in cases other than bad faith insurance claims?
Yes. Because there's subject matter specific statutes. So in the insurance code, there's an attorney's fee statute. In the bad faith statute, there's an attorney's fee statute. And the reason why we have that is because of the economic power that insurance companies have over insurers. Mm-hmm. So the idea behind it is we want to discourage insurance companies from denying valid claims. And if they do so improperly, they're going to pay a penalty in the form of attorney's fees. The way a reasonable attorney fee is determined is by the number of hours I've expended multiplied by what a reasonable hourly rate is. So I submitted my time, and GEICO refused to submit their time, yet they wanted to contest my time as being excessive.
Doesn't really make much sense.
Right. So the trial judge agreed with me, and then the Fourth District Court of Appeals reversed and said, well, we only think they're marginally relevant, the defense lawyer's billing records. So we took it to the Supreme Court, and they again reversed and agreed with the trial court.
But didn't GEICO know what they're up against? Because you were in-house counsel, correct?
Yes.
And that's why I thought you represented GEICO in that case, because I read in your resume that you, prior to that, you were counsel for GEICO.
Yes, that was in another life when I was a young lawyer. I actually started here in Broward County where we're taping this show, and shortly after that I moved up to Palm Beach County.
But that's back in 95 though, right?
Yes.
That's great that you know how the other side thinks.
Yeah.
Yes.
So,
firsthand.
Yes.
Well, the best defense attorney is a former prosecutor as well.
Yes. Know? It works in the civil world too, I think.
Absolutely. But I met with Chief Justice LaBarga at the Bench and Bar Convention. Great jurist.
Absolutely.
I'm a big fan of his. Came to this country at age 11, not speaking English. Now he's in charge of the third largest state Supreme Court. But what is it like to be in front of the state Supreme Court? I mean, how many justices are you speaking to?
In the state Supreme Court, I believe there's seven. There's seven in the Florida Supreme Court. There's nine in the United States Supreme Court.
Well, there was nine, but go ahead.
Well, now there's eight.
We got eight
soon
for
to
a
be
while.
Nine.
Soon
yeah.
to be nine.
Soon
right.
to be nine.
Not necessarily. Not so soon.
It's much different than being a trial attorney, and I've only done it once or twice because everything specialized, and we do have appellate lawyers that specialize in making those types of arguments. But it's quite intimidating because you're sitting in front of seven jurists that are very experienced, like Justice LaBarga, and as a trial lawyer, you're in control of the courtroom.
Right.
As an appellate lawyer, you're not at all. You're subject to whenever they want to start grilling you with questions. So you really have to be on your feet and know your case.
Rick's got an argument prepared, and he'll get interrupted at least 7 times and then have to get back to that after respectfully answering the question.
That's correct.
There's really an art to that.
There is.
But what actually is, before we get involved in the other type of insurance that you represent, like homeowners and those issues, but what is the definition of a disability?
Well, disability has many different definitions depending upon whether you're making a Social Security disability claim with the government. They have their own standards. I don't do that type of work. What I do is I represent policyholders under private disability policies. A lot of these were sold to professionals, accountants, lawyers, doctors, engineers, so on and so forth. And they insert a contractual definition. Essentially, it says that if by injury or sickness you are unable to perform the material and substantial duties of your regular occupation, which is defined as the occupation you were performing at the time of your disability, then you're entitled to benefits.
And getting back to your GEICO case just briefly, my experience was that I paid for full insurance.
Yes.
And my definition of full insurance, I thought I had uninsured motorist coverage. I did sign the waiver because I gave him the check, told me where to sign, and of course, like an idiot, I did not read what I was signing.
It's amazing how few people read what they're signing or read their insurance policies, even professionals. But you know, it's a major misconception in the state of Florida when we talk about full coverage. The only coverages on an automobile that are mandated in the state of Florida are PIP coverage, which covers your own medical bills if you're involved in an accident, regardless of who's at fault, and property damage liability, which means when you bang up somebody else's car, you're covered for that. If you want bodily injury liability, if you want uninsured motorist coverage, you have to ask for that coverage.
Now, if I had damage to my home or a condo, it does not matter, to my property.
Yes, sir.
I cash the check. And if I cash the check, does that mean my claim is closed?
It could be, but there's some very good law in the state of Florida that there's a presumption that you did not, intend to release the rest of your claim. Mm-hmm. It's called an accord in satisfaction. And what I always instruct everybody, because a lot of times they come to me and say, my home suffered $50,000 worth of damages and the insurance company sent me a $7,000 check.
Right.
You know, what happens if I cash this? You know, I tell them in all likelihood it's not going to release them from any further claims, but in an abundance of caution, you know, make sure you write them a letter or have me write them a letter saying that we're negotiating this check with the understanding that it does not compensate us for all of our damages and we intend to proceed. The worst case is if you sign a check that says full and final satisfaction of all claims. That might be problematic, but it's factually based.
But do I have to, say it's a leaky roof and from a wind damage, you know, knock the tiles off? Do I have to put a tarp over that roof, or am I liable if I don't do anything to help remedy in terms of a short-term care?
That's a great question because it's a contractual duty that most people don't know about. In the insurance policy itself, there's a clause that says what your duties are after a loss, and one of those duties are specifically and expressly to protect the property from further damage. So, yes, a great example is if you have a leaky roof, you can't just sit on your hands and let it keep leaking. You have to, you know, you don't have to spend the money to put on a whole new roof, but you have to make temporary repairs as best as you can, as reasonably as you can, to protect the property from further damage.
I'm getting a question from our new intern, Jessica Maxey. She's curious as to what made you leave GEICO.
That's a good question.
I mean, that's one of the top insurance companies in the country, definitely in Florida, and would seem like a pretty cushy job. What gets somebody to want to switch sides?
Well, I think there's several reasons, but also understand that this occurred back in the mid-90s when GEICO did not have as large a share of the market as they do now. Mm-hmm.
Did they have the Gecko then?
No. Nope, they didn't have 15 minutes could save you 15%. But what they did have was a CEO who tried to, who wanted to treat his attorneys like salaried employees, which we were because we were staff counsel. But in all honesty, my third year that I was with them, and I was a young lawyer at the time, but I had like seven or eight trials in 1 year. And I won all of them.
Wow.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Not to my own horn, actually, quite modestly, in those days, it was very easy to get a defense verdict on these types of cases. And their settlement offers reflected that. So when it was time for my annual review, the guy from Washington, D.C. comes down and he says, oh, yes, you had a great year. And your salary range is for an increase of $3,000 to $5,000, and you had such a good year, I'm going to give you the $5,000.
Yeah.
So I actually looked
in a bracket, and that's it.
I actually looked him in the eye, and I said, "Well, tell me what the incentive is to go and win all these trials next year."
Yeah, you know.
And shortly after that, I put my resume together, and I jumped to the plaintiff.
Well, I think it's the best decision you made, and especially for those you represent. But on a serious note, and especially I want to welcome those in the panhandle that do listen to the program through our different mediums now, from iHeart, iRadio now, and also TuneIn. And they had an issue when they had tornadoes, which is very rare in Florida. Yes. And the insurance companies had an interesting clause in there, and that clause stated, will not cover unnamed storms. Nobody names a tornado.
Right.
You know, and that are they out of luck, or is that something that is really deceptive or unfair?
Having not seen the actual policy language,
right.
It sounds very unfair and deceptive. I've seen that kind of language with respect to hurricanes, which is okay because it makes sense that if it's not a named storm and we only wanted to cover you for hurricane damages, that's fair. But to me, that's kind of like illusory coverage. We're not going to provide you coverage for tornado damage because it didn't get a name, and tornadoes never get names.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, I would have to look at the specific policy to analyze it to decide whether or not I feel like, you know, they can enforce that type of provision or not.
Well, Florida is known as a sunshine state, but it's not always sunny, and there's water issues down here.
Yes,
and, of course, there's issues covering. Mike, you're a homeowner as well.
I live on water, so I'm required to get an additional policy for flood. Recently we've had work done to prevent flood. But it didn't do anything to my premium. I thought it'd be less, but.
But that is an issue down here regarding, I guess, flood insurance for the majority of those who live in Florida.
Yeah, it's a large problem, especially when we get, hurricanes and windstorm, because it's very hard to apportion what damage was caused by windstorm and what damage is caused by flood. And a lot of times you have the flood insurer and the homeowner's insurer pointing the fingers at each other. And the poor insured is really left with a Hobson's choice. You have to litigate against two different insurance companies. We know somebody owes it, but they don't want to step up and decide how much each one wants to pay or how much each one's liable for. That's a major problem in the state of Florida.
That could be quite complex. I mean, do you work on a contingency or an hourly?
Fortunately, I work on a contingency. And when I say fortunately, it's because there's a very consumer-friendly Florida statute. And we talked about it previously. It's an attorney's fee statute that mandates, this is not discretionary, it mandates that when an insurance company wrongfully denies coverage, and a consumer has to hire somebody such as myself to pursue them, and I file a lawsuit. If they either settle or they lose a trial, they have to pay for my attorney's fees. So, that's keys to the courthouse, because I'll give you a great example. After Hurricane Wilma, I represented a couple up in Martin County who had a 1,000-square-foot house, very modest, obviously. It was only insured for $60,000, and they stayed in the home, and the hurricane came through, and they said it was like a freight train. The whole thing started shaking. This was a home that was on concrete blocks. There wasn't even a foundation. You could see the underneath of the home. And what happened was is that the walls weren't plumb anymore. The floor buckled. The whole place was a total loss. The insurance company comes out to inspect, and their adjuster pulls some of the siding off of the house, and he finds a board or two that is termite damaged.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. So there's an exclusion in the policy for damage caused by insects, rodents, termites. Mm-hmm. And they stood by that denial.
That caused all that damage.
All that damage. I went to trial on that case up in Martin County, but my point is...
I hope you hit it out of the park. But
I couldn't have had any more fun. When I cross-examined the engineer, I said, well, you know, how big were these termites? How many were there? To get back to the point, they ended up paying me 2.5 times in attorney's fees what they had to pay to my client under the policy.
Wow.
But when you take on a case, then you invest in that case if you have to have expert witnesses, engineers, just a host of things.
Yes, yes. And that's the nature of a contingency fee contract. So I have to make good decisions up front so that I don't get myself involved in a case where, you know, potentially it's difficult to win.
So our audience could get a better understanding. What type of insurance do you actually work on in terms of, you talked about malpractice as an example. We've talked about homeowners. So what is the list of the type of insurance? Does that also include business insurance?
Yes, yes. I've been representing many clients such as general contractors, lawyers, and doctors who get sued for one reason or another, you know, faulty construction, legal malpractice. And they report the claim to the insurance company. And for some reason or another, they find something in the policy to say there's no coverage. So I will represent that professional and bring what we call a declaratory coverage action to ask the court to determine whether or not there is coverage. I also represent policyholders. You know, I represent the whole gamut of insurance. Anytime a premium is paid, a claim is made, and the insurance company does not do the right thing, does not compensate the policyholder fairly. So, you know, life, health, disability, health insurance, automobile insurance, all those types of things.
And in Florida, there's something called the Unfair Insurance Practice Act?
Yes, and that's kind of subsumed within the bad faith statute. It's a whole laundry list of things that insurance companies should not do to people, to their customers in the state of Florida. Mm-hmm.
Just to lighten this up a bit from insurance law, there's a person behind this lawyer. I read that you're a big blues fan.
Yes.
It specifically says live blues acts. I represent a bunch of people in the music industry and music industry companies.
Yes.
One of the complaints I hear about South Florida all the time is it's just really not a live music area, and there's no, where do you like going for live blues? Is there any?
I'm fortunate, and you're right, there's a dearth of places, but I live in Boca Raton, and
so
there's,
do I. All right.
There's a place called the Funky Biscuit.
Yes!
Oh, wow!
Awesome. Okay.
I can't tell you the amount of attorneys I've seen there, from Robert Gluck and just I go on and on.
And just this past Sunday, I attended the Sunshine Blues Festival, which was founded 6 years ago by Susan Tedeschi and Butch
Derek Trucks.
Derek Trucks, yes, Derek Trucks. And I've attended since the first year. It's at Meisner Park Amphitheater, outdoors. It's a wonderful festival.
Well, you are board-certified civil trial attorney, which means I can call you an expert.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
And you are. And this is your passion, and, you know, you do so much good for your clients, because let me tell you, it is a merry-go-round. You don't know where you're going, what you're going to get, and we're talking about the most important thing, especially for the homeowners. But you pay these insurance premiums, you expect to get what you pay for.
You're buying peace of mind.
Yes.
And it's amazing to me how many clients come to me after months and months and months of getting the runaround and say, Mr. Ben Ruby, I always thought they were going to be on my side. I didn't know they were going to treat me like I'm trying to steal money from
them. They've been with them for years.
And, you know, I love what I do because I represent people who come to me as a last resort. I help people get surgeries that they need. I get them to put their houses back together. I get them life insurance benefits when their loved ones pass away and the insurance companies don't want to pay.
Well, you know, again, you're a dynamic attorney. You work throughout the state of Florida, but you're located in Boca Raton. Is that correct?
I live
in Boca Raton.
I live in Boca Raton. And the office is off of Palm Beach Lakes Boulevard in West Palm Beach.
And if somebody has an insurance question or an issue regarding their policy, what is the best way to contact you?
They can reach me by telephone at 561-478-2500. Or they could use an email. I'm of counsel to a firm. The email is rosenthallevy.com.
Oh, that's a good firm.
Yes, sir.
It's a good size firm. And I Googled your name, by the way. You're the only Ben Ruby out there that does insurance work. So if you do insurance claims, Ben Ruby, you come right up.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a specialty. There's not many of us. So that's
exactly. That's and there's not many board certified attorneys either. We appreciate you coming on. As always, we wish we had more time. We only got through half of the things, and I can only imagine what your desk looks like if you could see the color of your desk as well. You know, Mike, it goes by so fast. I always say that because it actually does.
Yes.
And, you know, for our new platform, that's Monday through Friday at 103.9, 740 AM, 96.9 FM, iHeart, TuneIn, iRadio Now app. You got to be under a rock not to be able to hear us.
Yeah.
And so why don't you take us off the air?
Well, thanks, Richard Benrubi, our guest. Thank you, Phil, my co-host. Thank you, our new intern, Jessica Maxey, a Nova law student. And everybody, please, you know, put your phones down, keep listening to the radio, drive safe out there, and remember,
be legal!
You've been listening to the award-winning Legal News and Review, recognized by the Florida Bar's Award of Excellence. Legal News and Review, featuring Michael Santucci from the law firm of Santucci Priori, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale, and practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation. They can be reached at 500law.com or at 954-351-7474. To contact the legal panel hosts and guests, go to belegalbuzz.com. And to reach Gary Singer, board-certified real estate and syndicated columnist, appearing in 400 media outlets, including the front page of the Money Section every Monday in the Sun Sentinel, from the law firm of Gary M. Singer, PA, call 954-851-1448. Join us next Friday, 6 to 7 p.m., for Legal News and Review. Remember, be legal.